pushing my voice to rise above the howling winds until it cracked in the cold air and I couldn't even hear myself. Now it's all I can do to stay on my feet, stay moving. The scarf slips again, and it feels like my skin is being scraped off by sandpaper. I turn my head away from the gale, and Kiernan notices. He tugs his own scarf off his neck. Out of the two of us, he was the better dressed, the better prepared. He'd grown up in an area not too different from here. He'd known how temperamental it could be. He reaches the scarf toward me. I shake my head. You need it. His hand finds my jacket lapel and pulls me closer as he loops the thick merino wool around me.
Don't fight me on this, he says.
The scarf doesn't just sit around my neck, but covers the lower half of my face, almost blocking my eyes. It smells of damp and Kiernan's breath and sweat. My own hot breath blows around my cheeks with every exhale. Kiernan bends to put our heads at the same height. He's still wearing his neck gaiter, pulled up to cover his nose, but it looks too lightweight without the scarf. Crystals have formed around the corners of his eyes, and I can't tell if it's an effect of the sharp wind or whether he's fighting back tears.
We need to stay together, he says. This way.
The landscape is changing around us, growing up vertical, the jutting black shards of rock rising high past our heads. The snow drifts are deep around them, and every step is a fight. A horrendous sinking sensation forms in the pit of my stomach. This isn't even remotely like the area where the bus was forced to halt. We're moving in the wrong direction. I try to call to Kiernan, to tell him we need to turn back, but my throat is stripped raw, and my voice escapes as a reedy whisper, inaudible even to myself. Uneven walls rise to my left, crusted in ice. An endless expanse of white stretches to my right. Clumps of snow tumble away from my boots and vanish into it. I press back, pushing closer to Kiernan, grabbing at his arm to warn him we're on the edge of a ravine. He sees my gestures.
It's okay,
he calls, and his voice sounds thin and broken under the wind.
We just need to get around this. Stay close to the wall. Don't let go of me.
I've never seen Kiernan terrified before. It feels like an alien emotion for him. Something unnatural. Something that doesn't belong. But still, he's moving forward. I grasp his hand and try to pull him back. It's too dangerous. We need to retrace our steps. See if we can find out where we turned wrong and which path will lead us back to the tour group. He calls something to me and leans forward again. I shake my head, but he doesn't see it. His shoulder brushes along the rough stone as he moves close to it, holding himself as far from the ravine as he can. I can't get him back, which means I have to follow. The ground feels uneven, though it's hard to be certain with the snow as thick as it is. I mimic Kiernan's motions and press against the bare stone face, my glove running across the rough surface to guide my movements. The snowstorm is so thick that I can't tell how close the cliff's edge is. I can barely see the snow around my legs, white and blurred under the flakes funneled in by the wind. At a certain point, I can't see the ground at all any longer. There's no clear edge, no sharp line to warn me how close I am, just a fade into nothing. Kiernan is moving fast. I can feel the desperation in the angle of his shoulders, and the thought returns to me. We're going to die here. I wonder if that idea has occurred to him yet, whether he's dwelling on it. Hot air gusts out of my mouth, trapped in the scarf, and brings pins and needles to my damaged skin. I feel as though I am suffocating, but pulling the scarf away won't bring any relief. I still can't see the edge of the ravine to my right, but the ground under my feet is tilting towards it. I press hard against the rocks to my left. My boots are slippery on the ice. Kiernan is pulling ahead. I try to call to him to slow down, but my voice comes out as a whistle. The wind races across the bare rocks, trying to pry me away from them. My heart is pumping ferociously, and I've never been so hyper aware that the heart is a muscle because it